get this to cooperate today. We're wrapping up our study on which Bible should we use and how do I study and use my Bible. So I've got an idea maybe of a short study, but if you have any suggestions or requests or things like that other than, well, I guess that's up to Pastor. If you want a different teacher, we can you can put that request in with him. But if you have any other requests about maybe, book of the Bible you'd like to look at or a particular topic or those kind of things, we're certainly open to pray about that and consider those things. You got the projector on there, Jeremy? Okay. Let's see. See if this will cooperate for me today. All right. But anyway, today we're going to kind of wrap up, and is it not? There we go. Got it warmed up now. We're going to kind of wrap this up. Last week we looked at some of the study ideas, some of the digging. Didn't get to as much of the the application side as I wanted to. I want to look at that a little bit this morning. I think I made that big enough that you can at least read the top section, okay? But one of the things that I wanted to look at is I just did, this is BibleWorks software, so if you're not familiar with that, that's what it is. But what I did was I did a search here, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? Well, then I just did a search on the word short here, which if you go to a Strong's Concordance, it's alphabetical like a dictionary. You just go to the S's and find short. Or if you use Bible software, you can do that. And I've got, what do I have over here? I've got 12 verses over here on this side that have short. Are they all, I know you can't read this stuff here and you can't read this stuff here. I'm not concerned about that. I wanted you to be able to read this part here. Okay? But is it all the same? Okay, well, if I come over here, you may or may not be able to read that, but right here below it, it's showing me that the Strong's number is 5302. Any of you ever used a Bible study and has Strong's numbers? You know what I'm talking about? I thought that would be familiar to most of you. Whether it's online Bible or, almost any Bible study tool that you use on a computer is keyed to Strong's numbers, okay? At least lets you know if you're in the right neighborhood, okay? I mentioned Vines and I mentioned Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies a couple weeks ago. Books like that, and also the Young's Concordance, it will take it, take things like this and break it down. I've got 12 verses here in this list that use the word short. But some of them in the Old Testament, some of them in the New Testament. Of the New Testament, there's only two words here that have, or the only two verses that use this word. It's actually the phrase here that is come short. Those two words, it's one word. If I hold over here, it tells me it's 5302. The only other, if I come down here, say to Revelation, and I look at this, I come over here, it tells me that the number is 3641. Okay, I don't care about the numbers, it just tells me, okay, that's a different word. Okay, so if I'm going to look up, I can't say, well, this same word is used over here in Revelation. All right, you follow me? With me? You ever listen to pastor say, well, this same word is used in John and Romans and Philippians, and you're like, how do you find that stuff? This is how you find it. Okay? Whether you look it up in a, if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, in a big paper concordance, if every verse that uses the word short over in the right-hand column, it's got numbers. And if it's different numbers, that means it's from a different root word. Okay, the only other one here that has the same word for come short is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest any of you should seem to come short of it. Okay, if I come over here, it tells me it's 5302. Okay, that's the same word that I had in Romans chapter 3. All right, now I can look this up, and of course it means to come short of, to be inferior, okay, to lack. All right. Now, it's easy. In some ways, I think it's easier for us to understand Hebrews 4:1, isn't it? Unless there be a promise of entering in, some of you should seem to come short of it. You didn't quite attain the promise. Sometimes that's maybe easier to understand than, you know, you ever heard somebody talk about Romans 3:23 and say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Well, that means to miss the mark. What does that mean? You know, to come short, there's a standard. All right? It's like the, you know, anytime we let the children's church or, you know, you let the master club out, you know, and the kids flood in here, it's fun to watch them. But you get the boys that are about fifth or sixth grade, you know, if they go through the double doors back there and nobody's standing there, you know, when they get a little bit taller, what are they trying to do? They're trying to jump up and see if they can touch the top, right? Okay? That's a big measuring stick. Well, at least when you're 10, it is, you know. Now it's like, whatever. But, you know, you can jump up and reach it. When I was 12, 13, you know, I was fascinated with, could I, you know, kind of get a running start and smack this side, then turn around and smack this side before my feet hit the ground again? You're like, whoop-de-doo. Yeah, I'm with you now, okay? But at the time, that was really, really exciting, okay? But let's just say that Seth and Tyler and Judah, you know, let's just say that the three of them are standing back there, and they are going to have a contest to see who can touch the top of the doorway. I mean, can you see them? Yeah, you can see them trying that, yes. Okay. Well, if all they do is stand on the ground, all right, they're never going to, no matter how hard they jump, no matter if one of them says, why don't you get on my shoulders? Well, we know how that's going to turn out too. But they're going to constantly come short of it, to miss, you know, to not measure up. All right? But that's the idea of Romans chapter 3, to come short of the glory of God. Okay? But now we got a definition. I gave you a handout last week. We looked at, to whom was this written? What time was it written? I've got another blank one here that we may use today. And does this apply to New Testament believers? All right, Romans 3:23. Does this apply to us? Yeah, how do we know? This word right here. Exactly. All have sinned. It's interesting to me that even this word here, when I look down here at the definition, you know, you can't read it because this is about size 10 font and you can't read it from there. But it says individually, each, every, any, all. So it's used as a collective term, all, but it also has the idea of individual within the group. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does it have application to us? Yes. Okay? So what are the principles? All right, how does this apply to me? Right? This is where you contribute. And I listen. Okay, we still miss the mark. We're still the 5-year, 6-year old jumping and trying to hit the top of the doorway. Okay, now that means you and me, we're sinners. You say, well, you know, I've been saved and I've been in church for 40 years. Thank the Lord. But, you know, on our own, I still come short, right? Okay, the only thing that makes us worthy in the sight of God is the righteousness of Christ, not the righteousness of Matthew or Bill or Steve or Gino, right? So that's an application. What's another application? How does this apply to me? How does this apply to, you know, what I should be or what I should do? Gino? Okay, witnessing. All right. In other words, if all have sinned, then they all need to understand that. Kim? That's a great application, all right? We need to constantly be working towards hitting God's mark, okay? Now, there's a fatalistic view that says, well, I'll never reach God's mark anyway, so I may as well not even try, okay? Paul several times uses the term walk worthy, which means that in thankfulness and gratitude for what God's done, we ought to walk worthy, which includes doing our best to reach that. And, of course, we understand, too, that means with God's help, right? All right, you got another application? Okay, you haven't finished your Bible study until you get to the last step that says, how does this apply to me? All right, on the handout I gave you last week where it says personal application, it says something like this. based on this passage, I must, I ought to, I may, I am able to, or I will. Okay? I gave you some of those to kind of get the ideas flowing. But based on this passage, I must tell others that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The parallel passage to that is Romans 6:23, right? The wages of sin is death. Okay? So, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I must warn others, right? I ought to continue to strive to meet God's standard. I must realize that I still fall short of God's standard today. Okay? In some cases, there's a promise. All right? Let's look at this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. All right? Now, we said that therefore is a word of what? We mentioned it last week. We looked at Romans 12. Therefore is what? Drawing conclusion. There you go. Thank you. All right. So it's drawing a conclusion. All right. In some ways, I liken it to an equal sign. This plus this plus this equals this. And that's my conclusion, equals this. All right.
I think he wants me to turn it off. I think that's what we're doing here. Hey, look at that. All right. Back up. Get the train on the right track again. Okay. Therefore is a word of conclusion. All right? It's this plus this plus this equals this. All right? So when I see let us therefore come boldly, all right? Give me a word or words that would be a synonym for therefore. How could you say that another way? Because of. Good. Dr. Childs has a famous word that he would say in class. That if you've had Dr. Childs in class, what word would Dr. Childs use a lot that has that same kind of idea, because of? Huh? Consequently. There you go. All right? That's a word of drawing a conclusion. All right? So if I see this, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, then that tells me if this is the conclusion, I should look back and see the reasons, right? Because if here's the conclusion, then somewhere before that it gave me the reasons. This plus this plus this equals, well, I got the equals here. Let me go back and see what the reasons were. So basically it's verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. All right? Because Jesus is our high priest, and because we have a high priest who, this is stated in the negative, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. All right, so turn that around, state it in the positive. All right, am I going to have to start calling names? All right, Jeremy, state it in a positive way for me.
We have a high priest that can be touched.
There you go. We do have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can understand. Was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Okay? He was tempted, but he did not yield to that like we all have. All right? Let us therefore, okay, so the because of, all right, because of what we can come boldly? Because of our high priest, okay? Because we have a high priest, because he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, let us therefore come boldly, okay? So, under the throne of grace, aren't you glad it's not the throne of law? Aren't you glad it's not the throne of merit or worth? Okay? It's still the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we could go through here and, you know, look at boldly, look at grace, and look at mercy. Okay? Those words you can look up to kind of help. You say, well, why do I need to look up all those words? Because if you read them, you're like, oh yeah, I understand that word. But if I said, Garrett, give me a definition of grace to help, you have to stop and think about it a while, right? Okay? If I said, Brother Don, give me a Bible definition of the word mercy, if I give him a little time to prepare, he'd give me a great definition. Okay? But what I have found in my own study is that sometimes just slowing down to look up certain things, not everything, it's not all your Bible study becomes a dictionary drill. Okay? But if I just slow down and look up a few things, you know what it helps me do? There's a Bible word starts with M. It's called meditate, which means to slow down and think about it, right? I'm not good at slow down and think about it. Okay? Let me just sit here and, hope that these things marinate. No, I need a little Kickstarter sometimes. Okay? Well, if I have to slow down and give a definition, it makes me stop, and kind of ponder, well, what does this mean? Okay? So it's not just, well, that's good for you because you're a preacher and you're a teacher and I'm telling you, this is one way to help kickstart, come boldly. And then, you might want to search on, this term come boldly is the idea of, what does that mean? Where else is that term boldly used? Well, that term boldly is used in Acts. When it says the disciples witness with boldness, hey, where else is this used? To come boldly, does that mean with, an arrogant demand? No, it doesn't. But it does mean with confidence. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. All right? One of the things we appreciate about Pastor is that he's approachable. It's not like, well, I'm the preacher and, you're the people. If you have a question, you can talk to him. Okay, but there's times when you feel like, I'm just not going to bother the preacher. This isn't all that important. I'm not going to, take up his time. However, if we get Tyler, Haley, or Braden, we try to train our children to not interrupt when folks are talking. But, Tyler, Haley, and Braden, do they worry about that? No, when they get released from nursery or children's church, whatever it is, what do? They're going to run in, at least a small, they're going to run up, grab daddy's leg, hi daddy, how you doing? Okay, there's a confidence there that daddy will accept them, that he will talk to them, and he may say, hey, give me just a minute, I'm talking, but there's a confidence that they'll be heard and they'll be accepted, right? That's what this means here, to come boldly. It's that idea of being confident that God's going to accept us and not reject us. Okay, so it's not arrogance, but if I just slow down and think about that. Now, if I go back to the application, based on this passage, I must, or I ought to, or I may, or I am able to. See, the I may or I am able to comes in sometimes when there's a promise to claim, right? So that's why I went over here to this verse to look at it. Let us therefore come boldly. Based on this verse, I may or I am able to what? Somebody that's not already given me an answer this morning. Yeah, I can come openly with confidence to the Lord. That's great. Okay? What's another thing? Based on this, I may what? Have fellowship. Okay? Now, if you're reading along in your Bible and say, man, I can actually have fellowship with God. That's a great thought, isn't it? Okay? But see, it's not enough to just say, all right, I got my definitions, I got my stuff. It's, how does this apply to me? Sometimes it's a command. Sometimes it's this what I must do. Okay? Other times it's this is what I get to do. Or based on this, I may, or I am able to, I can claim this promise. But my God shall supply all your need. Based on this verse, I can ask God to supply my need. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So when we slow down and think about it and kind of gets in our head a little bit, hopefully this stage helps get it in our heart, right? I love the verse from the Gospels where after Jesus' resurrection, he's walking along the Emmaus Road with the disciples, and they didn't recognize him yet. And then after he was gone, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? To use another expression, when that bud that's closed begins to open into a bloom, when the understanding begins to open up, it's like, oh, hey, that's what that means. Or, oh, hey, this is how this applies to me. You know, that ought to give you a little spiritual heartburn every once in a while, right? There's that warp. There's that, wow, this is wonderful. And you stop and thank the Lord for that, right? Okay, so that's the last step of, right, how do I study my Bible? I mean, we've got a framework, depending on which part of the Bible it is, you know, to help us understand and interpret. But until we get to that step of, based on this passage, I must, or I ought to, or I can, I will, I am able to, all right? Until we get to that step, we haven't personalized the truths that we've dug out. You follow me? All right, now, how many of you have heard somebody talk about, man, I read this verse, and boy, this was just great, this was exciting, it was exactly what I need, and while you're happy for them, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, please don't ask me what I read this morning. I promise I read my Bible, but I don't remember right now what it was. You ever had that thought? Of course you have. Okay? How do you retain that? Okay? Or let me say it this way. Do you like doing work to have it wasted? Or do you want to be able to retain it? Okay? Well, if you're going to do the work to do some study and do some thought and understand it and dig out what it means, do you want it to just kind of be, you know, like flower petals that you hold your hand out the car window and they're all blown away and you're never going to get them again? Or do you want to be able to hang on to it? Okay? So, if after I draw this out, and, you know, we're going through it a step at a time because we've got people from beginner to intermediate to way far more advanced than me in here. Okay? But this is how you do it. This is step by step. But when I get to this point of, all right, this is what this means and this is what I ought to do, how do you retain it? Well, let me give you a little statement that a teacher gave me a long time ago. A short pencil is better than a long memory. Okay? A short pencil is better than a long memory. Everybody understands what that means? Okay? It's a lot easier to remember it if you take a little pencil and write it down than if you trust your memory to hang on to it. Okay? So, here's a suggestion that I'm going to give you. Have someplace somewhere that you would, you know, when you read your Bible, you're doing a little study, have some place that you write something down. Nobody ever has to see this. You can lock it in a vault and make your husband or wife promise to burn it upon your death so that nobody ever, you know, publishes that. It's not for public consumption, but, okay, well, in the evening then, if you can go back to that and say, well, what did I read, and kind of rehash it, the more times you touch it, the more likely it is to sink in, right? Okay? But where do you write it down? Do you have a little notebook that you stick in your Bible case? Okay, I know the younger people, some of you are thinking, I have Notes app on my phone, I have iCloud, I have Google Docs, I have whatever. Okay, that may work for you. Just like I said, be careful with the distraction aspect of that. Okay, there is such a thing called airplane mode that if you're going to use it for that, you need to put on airplane mode where all the other distractions are basically blocked out. Okay, but where do you write it down? Now, some people call that keeping a journal, okay? Keeping a Bible journal. And different people might explain it different ways, but the basic idea is that you're going to write down, this is what I read, this is what I learned. And then you can actually go back. Again, we talked about the word meditate, which is to dwell on it, to go over and over it. It's not just to hit it, you know, but it's to really get a hold of it. Writing it down is a great tool to help you meditate on it, isn't it? Because you write that down in the morning, well, then you go to work, you go to school, you go fight with aggravating children, I mean homeschool for all day, and you know, by the time dinner rolls around, it's like, oh, I know I read my Bible, I promise I did, but you know, what was it? There are other things that have kind of crowded it out. Well, I mean, it's pretty easy then to pop that open, read two or three lines that you wrote, and hopefully then it clicks back. It's on the front burner again instead of the back burner. You with me? But if you're going to study and apply, in order to apply, you're going to have to be able to remember. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, and then Pastor hit it again on Wednesday night weeks ago, the John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit does help us to remember those scriptures that we put in. But from our perspective, we're not necessarily going to remember it, you know, on our own, unless, you know, we get it in and we have that repetition. You with me? Any questions on that? Any comments? I know some of you have worked at that for a long time. Any comments or anything that you have found along those lines that's been helpful to you that you think you might want to share? Doc, anything you want to add to it? Anything you want to share along those lines? You write down the cross references in the margin of the Bible. That's great. You know, that's a great way to remember it next time. You know, and Schofield is a help, but he didn't give you all the cross references there could be, right? Some of the ones he gives you may not work. Garrett. Yeah, Kim? Jed thinks they're really cute, so sorry. Yeah, if you are working on, say, memory verses, that's a great way to work on memory verses, is to put them on cards. You have little rings so they don't scatter everywhere, and you can put them in the cup holder in the car. You carry them in your pocket, maybe. But you do the same thing with, you know, the nugget that you learned that day or that week from your Bible reading, it, which helps you to ponder it. That's good, Bill. And let me mention this too. You don't necessarily, even though, you know, there'll be macaroni and cheese in heaven, I'm sure, you don't necessarily eat macaroni and cheese at every meal. You know, you don't necessarily do the same study or the same way all the time for 40 years. Okay? There are times when it's more beneficial to do it one way or another. And let me, you know, some of that has to do with your level of growth, okay? If you've been saved within the last year or two or three and you're not as familiar with certain things, you're better off on a plan of, let me systematically read through the New Testament, let me systematically read through the Bible a lot of times, just to gain the familiarity, okay? If you've read through the Bible every year for 25 years, that can kind of be the thing that you do. That's when you stop and say, okay, I'm going to start tracing themes or topics like Dr. Childs mentioned. You know, I'm going to look at salvation where it starts in Genesis and all the way through. Or, you know, I'm going to take a book and do a word-by-word study. Because let me just tell you, you cannot do what I've talked about with just keywords, not every word, but just important words. You cannot do that kind of study and do four chapters a day and read through your Bible in a year. You can't. Okay? Which one's better than the other one? Yes. Okay? There are times in your life when, you know, we need that. And to a certain degree, we need that constant input, because there's no way we remember everything that's in the Bible. You know, we need that constant input and reminder. And it's amazing how when you do that, somewhere in the middle of Jeremiah, when everything's awful, the Lord still gives you something that you need, right? But you don't need to lose that. But there's times when, okay, I'm going to take a chapter. You know, I'm going to do John chapter 14. I'm going to, you know, go through it in a slower fashion. And then things begin to open up in another way too. And there's both. Or there's times, all right, this year I'm going to do it this way. And then next year I'm going to do it this way. It helps us to be fresh. It helps us to see things from a different perspective. And, you know, which one's right? They're not. I mean, which one is better, steak or hot dog? Okay, offer it to a five-year-old and see which one they take. Okay, there are some things that Hebrews says we, who by reason of use have our senses exercised to discern good and evil, understand those things. There's some that don't, and you can kill somebody. You can really, really discourage them trying to teach them how to do this the first 6 months they're saved. Okay, however, if you've been saved for 40 years and you're not trying to expand, trying to learn the best you can, all right, well, then there's some stunted growth. Pastor. Absolutely. I think it was Matthew Henry, but if it wasn't Matthew Henry, it was one of those guys that has written Bible commentaries that we all know. Somebody asked him, you know, how many times do you read the book, do you read a book before you start commenting on it? Five? Seven? You know what the guy's response was? 70. I've heard 70. Other times I've heard 50. Okay, Tori, okay. There was another time, it was, you know, it's Matthew Henry or you know, one of those guys. And they were talking, well, what'd you read this morning? Well, I read, you know, six chapters in Matthew. I read six. What'd you read this morning, Jeremiah? Like all 50 chapters, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, those guys that you say, well, where did they get this? Well, a lot of it is read it 70 times through or 50 times through. Then you start drilling in. The advantage of, you know, I'm going to read three or four chapters a day is that we get the overall familiarity. The disadvantage is sometimes we don't have enough on the details. But if I'm going to constantly do this, and boy, I'm just zoomed in on this verse and this word and this verse and this word, sometimes we're so bogged down with that that we can't see the big picture. Or we miss how this connects to the big picture. So they're all necessary. And that variety and changing it up, you know, none of us are expected to necessarily be able to study the same way pastor is, okay? But we are expected to study, right? Study to show thyself approved. We're expected to take the tools that we have, or at least the ones we can understand how to use. You know, when Tung Tran lived down the road from me, I would go into his shed or his work trailer, and I would marvel at the things he had in there. But it did me no good because I had no idea how to use that tool, okay? Hammer, hacksaw, screwdriver, I can handle that, you know. But, you know, the point I'm making is that all of us can use a Strong's Concordance or a Young's Concordance or a Vine's Dictionary and grow and improve, okay? You may not necessarily go to this level or, you know, some of you have a lot of other detailed stuff. Jed?
I have an app. It's a Bible app, and it's called YouVersion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That portion for the day. And it's helped me, you know, wow, I never thought of that verse that way. And then, you know, I get home and, you know, I'll look that verse up or study it out.
Yep.
And it's really easy.
Yep. That we went from Alexander Scorby on cassette to Alexander Scorby on CD to now, I mean, you have YouVersion and there's several others that'll do a similar thing where you can have your, if you have an internet connection, whether it's a smartphone or Wi-Fi or whatever, you can have it read it to you. So while you're washing dishes or, you know, riding in the car, whatever, you can have it read it to you. There's a lot of ways to get it. The point is, we got to get it in, and we got to understand it, and then we got to learn how to apply it, and then hopefully we want to learn how to retain it so we can use it, right? So it's not just enough to know, like, what Bible do we use and why do we use this Bible, but we got to use it and use it properly and get more familiar with it, all right? We got to quit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you.